Well, this morning we have a very special Christmas edition, cue from the pew here. Back in the summer, I got this question and I thought, you know what, I'm going to hold on to this for Christmas time because it is a good thing for us to think about at Christmas. So here we are, and we have a Christmas edition cue from the pew today. And here is the question: why is the virgin birth so important? You know, Jesus was born to a virgin. Why does that matter? Matthew and Luke go to great pains in their Gospels to say Jesus was born to a virgin with no human father. The early church clearly thought that the virgin birth was important because it is one of the, 12 things that they said is absolutely true and vital about Jesus in the Apostles' Creed, right? He was born of the Virgin Mary. Why is the virgin birth so special? This is a great question. And there were about a million directions I could go this morning. One of them being that it's important because it is a fulfillment of prophecy. You know, Isaiah 7:14, God says to the people of Israel through Isaiah, this is a sign that I am with you. A virgin will give birth to a son and you will call him Emmanuel, that is God with us. And then zip forward a few hundred years and you have Jesus being born to a virgin, being called Emmanuel, God with us. So the virgin birth is it's an example of God keeping his promises. And there are other reasons that we celebrate the virgin birth besides just that fulfillment of prophecy. And there are millions, well, thousands. So if you'd like to know more information, let me know. I'll give you some resources. But here's what I want to focus on with you this morning. Why is the virgin birth so important? It's important because it means that Jesus is both God and man. Why is that important? That's important because it means that Jesus alone is uniquely able to forgive our sin. Why is the virgin birth important? It means that Jesus is the God-man who can be our Savior. Him and him alone. Let me unpack that. So first, the virgin birth means that Jesus is both God and man. It's right there in the name. The virgin part means that he is God. The birth part means that he is human. You know, throughout the years, all sorts of people have tried to question or undermine whether or not Jesus actually was human. You know, they've said maybe God was just walking around on earth in human form. Or maybe he was just the appearance of a man. That's an old heresy called Docetism. But no, Jesus was in fact human. And we know that because he was born to a person. He was fully man, just like any other baby. He burped and cried and peed and pooped and did all of those things. Jesus was a human baby just like any other person. But what's really important here is not just the crying part, but the fact that he knows what it's like to live in bodies like these. Jesus knew what it was like to be tired and frustrated and tempted and angry and to have conflict with another person. Jesus knew exactly what that was like because he has been exactly like us in every single way, except that he was sinless. The birth part means that Jesus was human. Human, except that he never sinned. And that comes from the other part of him, the God part, the virgin part. You know, the virgin part of the virgin birth means that there is something supernatural about Jesus, right? He didn't just happen like any other baby. Jesus was, in fact, God. The Holy Spirit came upon her, the Most High overshadowed Mary, and all of a sudden, you've got Jesus there in a human tummy. Jesus is fully God. He was not just a man who was, you know, perfect in all his ways. And at some point God said, you know what, there is a morally upright person. I'm going to claim him and make him the Son of God. That's a heresy called adoptionism. No, he was God when he was born. He was God before he was born. He was God when he died on the cross. He was God. He is God now as he sits at the right hand of God. That's why he could do all of the things that he did in his life. Now, this is just a bit of an aside for the people who attended the history night a few weeks back. You know, the modernist mind would say, well, miracles can't happen. And so he couldn't have been born of a virgin. But the biblically informed mind goes, he was born of a virgin and could do miracles because he was God. He could act outside of the normal bounds of reality. That is what a miracle is, because he is the one who established those bounds in the first place. And in that way, the virgin birth kind of becomes a test to get at what your worldview is. Stick with me, okay? It's kind of like, have you heard this story of Van Halen and the brown M&Ms? So Van Halen is a big rock group, right? And in their rider, when they went to do a concert, they said, you have to go through and pick out every M&M out of the bowl of M&Ms in the backstage. All sorts of other things, but you have to go through and pick out all the M&Ms. And people were like, oh my goodness, what self-centered, what self-absorbed, you know, nut jobs these are for wanting to have that there. But here's the thing. The M&Ms were an indicator of something bigger. Because at that time, Van Halen had one of the biggest stage shows that there was, and they had to go through and hand tighten every screw by hand. And if a promoter would go to the effort of picking out all the M&Ms, they saw that as an indicator of something bigger, that they could trust this guy to have set up their stage rig properly. So the M&Ms, this one thing, is actually an indicator of something much bigger. And that's true of the virgin birth as well. It's an indicator that says that if you're on board with the virgin birth, then you're going to be on board with miracles. And if you're on board with miracles, then you're going to be on board with the resurrection. And so you affirm then what is traditional Christian faith. The virgin birth becomes kind of a shorthand for what you believe. Jesus was born, so that means he's human. Jesus was born to a virgin, which means that he is then God, fully man. Now, why is that important? Let me put it to you like this, and I'll say it twice. Only a man could lay down his life to redeem mankind, but only God could make that kind of sacrifice. Okay? Only a human being could lay down his life to redeem humanity, but God alone could make that kind of overarching sacrifice. You know, there are some people who, kind of being silly about it, have said, well, why did God have to send his son, come in a person, as it were, to reconcile man to himself? Why couldn't God have, I don't know, sent like a cucumber? And I've seen that written before. Here's the problem. If you break something and you need to replace it, you got to go to the store and get it or something like it, right? You need to get something to go in its place. And that's exactly what's happening here with Jesus. See, we know from the Old Testament, the sacrificial system, that bulls and goats could stand in for humanity for a while, but they could never truly take away sin. You need a person to stand in for humanity. And this is Hebrews 2:17. At this point, you'll see on the back all of the scripture references that I've given you. We're gonna hit a lot right now, so you might want to have it in front of you just to see what I'm drawing from. So bulls and goats could never take away sin. That's Hebrews 10:4. You need a man to stand in for humanity. That's Hebrews 2:17. You need someone who is like us in every way to stand in our place to forgive our sins. So we need a human being who can lay down his life for sin for others, but there's a problem. Every human being would have to pay for their own sin first. Everybody's got sin to deal with. That's Romans 3:23. And any person who is going to make an offering of atonement would have to deal with their own sins. That's Hebrews 5:3. Even priests had to make atonement for their own sin before they could pay for the sins of others. So in a cosmic, salvific sense, you need a person who is a perfect, blank slate, sinless human being who could do that. But none of us could do that. You need a perfectly sinless, blank slate person who could stand in. And that's Jesus. Because he was God, he had no sin of his own. But because he was man, he could stand in for sinners and lay down his life to save humanity. That's Hebrews 7:26. This kind of high priest meets our need. One who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he doesn't have to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once and for all when he offered himself, his holy, blameless, pure self. And 7:25, therefore, he is able to save completely all those who come to God through him because he is always living to intercede for us. Because Jesus was both God and man, he could lay down his life to rescue me and to rescue you from sin. And it's the virgin birth that made all of that possible. The virgin birth is crucial. Because it means that Jesus is the God-man who laid down his life to forgive humankind. Now, I feel like we've covered a lot of material in a very short time. And I know that some of you are making use of my sermon manuscripts online, which is awesome. Pretty much every message I've ever given on a Sunday morning is available in full text, PDFs online at the website. I have put the references into this message in particular. I've put footnotes and links in if you want to learn more about the heresy stuff. If you want to read more about Van Halen, I've also got the link there. But for now, let me talk about the implications. Why is it important that Jesus was born to a virgin? What does it mean for us that Jesus was born to a virgin? Well, on one hand, it means that he alone is responsible for our salvation. You know, back in the day when I thought I needed to make myself good enough for God, when I needed to pay back all of the wrong that I was done, I was fighting a losing battle. Because I would have to pay for my own sin just to get back to zero before I could experience salvation. But the virgin birth means that God, who had no sin of his own, laid down his life, his worthiness for my unworthiness. His goodness could cover my failures. And so Jesus was born at Christmas to lay down his life for me, and that is all the atonement that you or I will ever need, the divine tsunami of grace accomplished by Jesus' death on the cross is all we ever need. I don't have to pay it back. I never could. You don't have to pay it back. You never could. This is the gift that God gives to us at Christmas. Free grace. that we could do nothing but receive. Jesus lavishes forgiveness on us because he is divine. Now, that's the one hand, but the other hand is this. He knows what it is like to be human. He knows what it's like to feel pain. He knows what conflict is like. Whatever trouble you are experiencing right now, Jesus has gone through it or something like it, and he is faithful to help you. That's Hebrews 4:15. We don't have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. He hasn't got his head in the clouds or stuck in the sand. Jesus knows exactly what this is like because he has been like us in every way, tempted just as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 4:16, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Because Jesus was born to a virgin, he knows, and because he is human, he knows what it is like to go through life just like you are going through right now. Bring your pain, your frustration, your grief to him and let him bind up the broken parts of your life because he is the good shepherd to do that. Why is the virgin birth so important? Because it means that Jesus is God and man. Why is that important? Because it means that Jesus is uniquely able to be our Savior, both in this life and the next. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for coming to be born of a Virgin Mary. Lord, we don't fully understand all of the nuts and bolts of how it works, but this is a moment where we do our best to understand and then stop and say, glory in excelsis Deo. Jesus, because you were human, you know what it's like to live like us, but because you are divine, you are able to do something about it for us. You knew what it was to be tempted, but you never sinned, and so you could lay down your life to pay back the sins that we have committed. Lord, we receive your forgiveness. We trust that if we come to you with faith like a child, you lavish your forgiveness and grace and purpose and meaning on us. And we receive it here. God, I pray that as we go through this Advent season, when we hear talk of the virgin birth in Mary, did you know, or what child is this, or oh, come all ye faithful, Lord, that we would have a deeper love for you, knowing that you are both God and man, uniquely able to save us in our eternal time of need and in our daily times of need. Thank you for your life and your grace, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.